The age at which women have babies could be a more important cause of the gender pay gap than any other factor. According to a report from the U.S. Census Bureau on salary differences within heterosexual marriages, women who have their first child before the age of 25 or after age 35 will gradually close the pay gap with their husbands. But having a child between those ages will significantly affect how much women earn. Joining us now from Portland, Oregon, is New York Times reporter Claire Kane Miller. Hello there.
Hi.
The study of the gender pay gap is fascinating. It is multifaceted. It is complex. But tell us more about what you took away from the Census Bureau's findings.
So a lot of reasons for the pay gap have sort of disappeared over the last few decades. Women didn't used to go to college and grad school in as large numbers. Now they go to college and grad school in even larger numbers than men. A lot of other factors like that have sort of disappeared. But there remains a pay gap. And the data show that it basically widens after a single event, which is the birth of a woman's first child. It's really, really related to motherhood. And if a woman has her children between 25 and 35, which of course also happens to be when most women who have children have them, the pay gap never closes between her and her spouse for the rest of her career.
What are the hypotheses on why that happens?
Well, there are a few ideas. One is that before 25 and after 30, before 25, you haven't really started your career yet, so you're not taking as much of a hit by having children then. After 35, you've probably achieved a certain level of seniority, so you might take less of a hit. But 25 to 35 are really these prime career building years where you're putting in a lot of hours, where you're getting those promotions, you get the bulk of your raises in your career during that time. And so the idea is if you need to take any breaks or have these outside responsibilities during that time, it can really hurt you a lot more than if you do it later or earlier.
Interestingly, I found this part interesting. Most married couples today are likely to have similar educational backgrounds and career backgrounds. So the typical husband still earns more than his wife, but spouses could have fairly similar incomes. How does that change with the arrival of the child? And is it this expectation that the female is primary parent and needs to make more sacrifices?
That's right. It really comes down to gender roles. Babies take a lot of time. Children take a lot of time. They just do. There's no getting around that fact. And the way that it works is usually the woman or the mother is doing that. And that happens even in couples that have very progressive notions about gender roles, even in couples in which the woman was as or more educated than the man or earning more than the man. In fact, in couples in which the woman was earning more than the man before a baby arrived, they have an even bigger gender pay gap after a baby arrives than other couples. So it really gets down to these gender norms within families, who's expected to be the one who, will, of course, breastfeeds and has physical recovery from childbirth. But then, you know, that extends to who prepares the food, who goes home if a kid gets sick in the middle of the school day, all these other things. And it's also at work, reflected at work. So the workplace has not yet caught up to the idea that most families have two working parents. And most places, even if they offer maternity leave, in the United States, they do not offer paternity leave. If they do, men are expected not to take it. It's really frowned upon for a man to do, you know, the child-related things during the workday in a way that it's more expected of a woman. So there really are these strong gender roles.
Now, Scandinavia often held up as the gold standard in support for working parents and in work-life balance in all respects, but there's still a big pay gap there. How come?
So the charts showing the pay gap after a child is born are virtually exactly the same in Scandinavia and the United States, meaning men and women are making almost the same amount. Child's born, woman makes significantly less, man continues to get raises. And it was shocking to me because you're right. If Scandinavia has very good family policies, men take paternity leave. The gender roles are much more equal there. But what the researchers I talked to said is that while in the United States we have no paid family leave at all, so if you have any leave after a child is born, that is only because your employer chooses to offer it, and it's very minimal usually, maybe 6 weeks if you're lucky. Scandinavia has extremely long paid maternity leave. Women generally take a year at least off after the birth of a baby or more. If you have two children, that's several years, sort of in those prime career building years. And researchers say that either a too short leave or a too long leave, both of those things discourage women to leave the labor force. Too short leave, you feel like you can't go back to work, you have no choice, so you quit. Too long leave, you take so long out that you sort of lose your connection to the labor force. So they say a more useful leave is somewhere around 4 months, where the woman has time to recover, to bond with her child. You know, the child gets a little older, has time to breastfeed, and then the woman goes back to work.
It's startling as Canadians, because in our culture, the leave is a year. Not everybody takes it, but women get employment insurance to provide some comfort. It's not what they earned before. And there's also paternity leave there. So culturally, it's so much different. 4 months to a Canadian family would seem like 5 minutes.
Absolutely. And in the United States, about half of employees get 12 weeks unpaid. The other half get 0 weeks guaranteed unpaid. So it's really up to the generosity of your employer. It's much, much different.
What would you say about multiple children? What happens in the data set if you do have a second kid, for example?
So for each child that you have, the pay gap gets bigger. And if you have one child, it closes around the time the child's, you know, 8 or 10, which is not really surprising, right? You know, you get the child into elementary school, a little bit more independent, and you can sort of rededicate yourself at work and not have as many time demands outside of work. But for each child you have, the pay gap grows because, of course, it's more children. As anyone who's had more than one child knows, somebody told me when I was pregnant with my second that it becomes exponential, the added responsibility, which it really does. And so it grows, and it means that you have to wait a longer time to recover your pay because, you know, even as one child gets older, you still have a young one or more than one young one at home.
I want to ask what is a problematic question. It's a risky question, but I want to ask it because I think it's in the unsaid a lot. Is there any research or data around what changes to ambition after children are born, and if it's different by gender? And I know there's so many other factors and nuances that affect, you know, when I had our kid, now we're a two dad family, so we don't have the gender dynamic. But when our kid was young, it was like, ambition, I'd like 6 hours of sleep, please. And thank you very much. How does that change when you've got kids at home, your view of what is possible and what you're willing to sacrifice to be that driven, successful, top billable hour person that you were before your kid was born?
Sure. Well, I have not seen any research that shows, as you might expect, that there are, you know, that all the members of one gender feel one way about ambition after kids, or all the members of another gender feel another way. But there's some interesting new research, a paper that just was published yesterday, in fact, that shows that women really don't realize before they have kids how difficult it will be. You know, women are raised now to think, no problem, have jobs and families. I'm so educated now. I'm even more educated than most of the men. I can do this. And that their priorities really shift after they have a baby because they realize how difficult it is and how demanding on their time. But I think it's hard to disentangle what is ambition and what is just reality. The reality is your child needs certain things. And if your child is sick in the middle of the day, the child needs to be picked up from school and taken care of. You don't really have a choice in that matter. So that, by you leaving work and saying, you know, I choose to prioritize my family right now, that doesn't actually mean you're less ambitious about work. It means that in each moment you need to figure out what your priorities are. I also think workplaces play a huge role in this. If I know that at workplaces where a man, especially a man at the top of the company, takes paternity leave, Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook did this quite prominently. He told everyone he was on paternity leave. The publisher of the New York Times right now is on paternity leave, and he made that very clear. When that happens, it really trickles down into the rest of the culture where people think that's okay. And that doesn't mean giving up ambition. That means for a period of your life, which is probably a relatively short period, you're going to scale back a little bit and focus on your family. And then in the next period of your life, you know, the balance may shift.
One of the other battles on gender is men should be allowed to wear concealer. after they have a child because it's just inhumane what the sleep deprivation leads to. Claire, thank you very much for joining us today.
It was great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Claire Kane Miller is a reporter with the New York Times. She joined us to talk about new data from the Census Bureau in the U.S. on the pay gap.